thecommunity.com.
Hope you're doing well this morning. I'm really excited for this particular week, this particular passage. I've been kind of looking forward to this, section of Scripture, kind of since we started Romans. It contains within it one of my favorite verses, pretty much in all of Scripture, and so that's partly why. But also, I think it's one of those passages that the whole book of Romans and everything Paul's been talking about kind of leads up to this very key idea or this very key verse. It's almost like an exclamation mark on the whole thing, and you kind of see that even the rest of the book of Romans kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like, whoa. And then it starts to tail off a little bit as he closes things at the end. But this is the passage that is great, and I just love it. So Paul has spent so much time explaining in detail the incredibly powerful thing that God has done for us through Christ. He's given us some instructions about how we're supposed to live. We should live our lives like this in light of that. He's reminded us both of, in today's passage, I think he's reminding us both of what lies within us and the task that we're called to. And so the title or the message for today is Hope Carriers. Hope Carriers, because we're carriers of hope. So we're looking at Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 4, and we're going to roll through verse 13. So if you want to follow along in your Bibles or your Bible apps, as we work through it, the text will be on the screen as well. So here's the passage. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. And then verse 13, that kind of favorite verse. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. All right, let's pray and we'll dive into this text. Father God, this morning we pray as we look at your word, this section of Scripture, that as always it would be your heart that is ultimately shining through. And that as we see that, as we hear that, that we would be willing to absorb it into our own. That it would change us, that it would transform us, that it would keep us in that right perspective of what you want us to be about. And as this passage itself talks about hope, we pray that as we look at it, it would stir up that hope within us. And we just we lift this before you and pray that you would be the God who is speaking, not just my words, but your words in this next few minutes. And so we lift this before you in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to work it through starting in verse 4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So so Paul and the people of his day had the Scriptures, right? What they had was what we would call the Old Testament, of course. It was the Law and the Prophets. And they considered that to be God's word. They were written, Paul says, first of all, for our instruction. Right? Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. The scriptures contain truth, like the truth that God wants us to acknowledge, to embrace, and to live by, that was written for our instruction. He says it was written for our endurance, so that we could endure, that through endurance. The life that we live is a marathon, right? It is not over quickly. We have a number of days, months, years, or decades, and at times it feels like it's going fast, but we have this long race that we're running, however many days we have left. The rest of our lives is what we have to keep following Jesus before that life comes to an end. We need to endure. And so like Hosea 12:6 says, so you, by the help of your God, return, hold fast to love and justice and wait continually. Right? Like God wants us to keep going, to keep trusting him, to keep following him. Because he wants us to endure, he gives us words of encouragement. And sometimes it's actually in the form of a command. It takes on different forms sometimes, the way he encourages us. But sometimes it's in the form of a command. Like when he spoke to Joshua, in Joshua he says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. And here's the command, be strong and courageous. Right? It's an encouragement, but it's a command. Be strong and courageous, he says. Sometimes it comes in the form of a warning. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, it says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I commanded you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. Right? Strong words, but words of warning. Right? And yet they are designed to encourage us to pursue him. Sometimes they're in the form of just loving words. Like, you know, just, oh, those are kind. And like Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Right? What loving, like that picture, ah, this picture of love, loving words. And he ends with, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Right? And that kind of leads to that phrase, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, kind of leads us into the next part of what these scriptures were written for. Paul says it's for our hope. It's for our hope. Right? Like we all need a steady stream of hope in our life, don't we? I mean, if you think about it, like the high that we experience or the moment that we first come to faith in Christ is like this incredible thing, but it often doesn't stay, right? It fades, that excitement. It's not necessarily going to carry us for a lifetime in most cases. We need these like regular doses of hope in the midst of life struggles. Sometimes we need hope in the moment. Right? Like our present circumstances are painful and we just need to know God is there for us. Like he says in Isaiah 49, can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Right? Sometimes we need hope in the moment. Sometimes we need hope for the future. Like we can't see the bigger picture. We don't understand the path ahead of us. We don't know what's up ahead. We just don't know how things are going to work out. And we get these words of hope like in Psalm 119, Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Sometimes we're in need of hope for eternity. Like, so much of this life just doesn't make sense. The hope of eternity is like, sometimes it feels like it's the only thing that's going to keep us going and following Christ in this world. And Isaiah 64 says, from of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. And Paul kind of referenced that, rephrased that in 1 Corinthians, where he just says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has in store for those who love him. Right? Like these scriptures, and specifically, when Paul writes this to the church at Rome, these scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, were written for their instruction, their endurance, their encouragement, and their hope. When they were written, people were looking forward to the coming of God's promised Savior, and they would cling to this for hope. But now it had been fulfilled in Christ. He had come. And so when Paul wrote about God's word, speaking about that, he particularly may have had the Old Testament scriptures in mind, but through the work of the Spirit, what his writing did was become scripture for us, so it applies in a similar way. Right? Like, his words, what he's writing here, it should give us this deep sense of hope and carry us through difficult times. You know, a hope that carries us through difficult times, but also a hope that we can carry to those around us. Right? Like, we're hope carriers. We're hope carriers. Verse 5, Paul writes, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, remember when he says with one another, it's, yes, he's talking about those who are believers here, but remember God is, and much of his letter is talked about, God is bringing together both the Jews with all their religious history and their culture and their law, and the Gentiles, whose lives reflected a very different reality. And they live by hardly any of those same practices that the Jewish believers were raised in. And here Paul is longing for them to figure out how to live in such good harmony with one another that it brings glory to God. It's a great picture. Can't imagine why we might need to hear something like that today. So many opinions, so many perspectives. But did you ever, I was thinking about this idea of harmony, and I thought, did you ever have a song that you heard, maybe for the first time or the first couple of times, and it just like made you stop in your tracks? Like, just the beauty of the song, the melody, the words, whatever, or the way the whole thing came together, where you're just like filled with awe or moved to tears with beauty. I have a few songs like that. Not going to sing them for you this morning. But like one of those songs is the song that we sing here for a worship song at times called Greater Still. Right? That those lines of my sin was deep, your grace was deeper. My shame was wide, your arms were strong, were wider. And my guilt was great, your love was greater still. I'm like, oh. Hearing those lines were just something in the music and whatever, it just caught me. It was just beautiful, right? The idea of kind of harmony. Also recently, Matt Redman's hat song called Halfway Empty. And I realize it's sort of an artistic expression of God's mercy and grace, but the words are, you give and you give so lavishly, and your grace is not even halfway empty. My cup overflows, I have all that I need. Still your grace is not even halfway empty. Wave after wave every day as your goodness flows, it's not even halfway empty. Grace upon grace. Rejoice now, O my soul. It's not even halfway empty. I mean, just what a picture of God's grace, the depth, the nature of his grace. It's not even halfway empty. I don't know. If you haven't heard that song, look it up. Right? Look it up. It's pretty moving. You know, and you just hear a song like that, it stops me in my tracks, and I just remember hearing them kind of the first few times, and it was like, oh, I'm weeping. I can't hold it together here. This is so moving and beautiful. And I think that's the picture that Paul is longing for. Right? Blended together in perfect harmony. That's what God longs for his people to be like, to live in harmony with each other in a way that moves people, right? It brings glory and honor to him. And the world sees our love for one another and our love for him. Verse 7, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Like, the family of God should be all about welcoming others in. Even the so-called outsiders, right? Not just people we like. Not just people like us. As God's people, we need to be the ones going out of our way to invite others in, especially those who don't know Jesus yet. We need to be inviting them to come discover his truth and his hope and his love. And we should be the first ones to welcome them when they respond. To take that a step further, Paul says that like Christ, we should become a servant to others so they can know him. That's the spirit of the next few verses, verses 8 through 12. Here's what it says. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. In other words, so God's people would know the truth. And in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. The Gentiles would glorify God for his mercy, right? So what he's saying is that the outsiders would come to know him too. To many of the Jews, the Gentiles were the outsiders, right? They were more than that. They saw them as enemies. Like, God's truth, that was not for them. It was only for us. And Paul spent his whole life showing that God's word and truth and hope was for everyone, both Jew and Gentile. Well, for us today, it isn't so much about Jew and Gentile. It's about us as Christians, as believers, and those who do not yet believe. Like, they might still be outsiders who don't know Jesus, but they're not the enemy. They're not the enemy. The devil is the enemy. They are simply ones who need to know God's mercy, the same mercy he has shown to us in Christ Jesus. Like, we're called to reach out to them and welcome them in. So as he keeps going, he says, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him, the Gentiles will hope. Right now, you hear the word Gentiles over and over and over and over, and just think outsiders. Right? To the Jewish person, just think outsiders or enemies. Right? So for us, if we were to put that maybe in a context that's relevant for us, it might sound something like this. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the outsiders and sing to your name. Rejoice, O unbelievers, along with those who already are his people. Come to praise the Lord, all you who do not know him yet. And let all people extol him. The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule those who are not yet his followers. In him they will come to hope. Right? Like, I'm not trying to, well, I want to say I'm not trying to rewrite scripture, except for that's exactly what I just did. But it's the same spirit. Right? It's the same spirit that Paul charged the Jewish people with in regards to the Gentiles, we believers are supposed to have toward those who are not yet Christians. Right? We are the hope carriers. And we hold that hope out among them. And then comes the favor verse, the last one. Paul kind of, it's like he's praying a blessing upon them with these words. It's not just a nice hope. It's not just a verse. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Like, God longs for us all to abound in hope. Right? He fills us with hope and joy and peace when we truly believe and trust in him. He puts his spirit, the Holy Spirit, within us, and the Holy Spirit sustains us and encourages us with all kinds of hope. Which again means we're hope carriers. Like, we are the ones who carry this hope. And I think that's in two different ways, right? When we abound with hope, hope carries us through every circumstance we face. Right? Like, we can have joy even in times where life's not so great, where there's all kinds of sadness. We may not be happy in that sense, but that doesn't mean we still can't have a sense of joy within us. So our hope carries us. But we're also meant to be carriers of that hope for the world. And that's really kind of our key idea. The hope of God carries us, and we carry that hope for the world. Right? It's not just for ourselves. The people of Israel in the Old Testament, they were very self-centered. Right? They felt that their God was just for them. They carried that carried over to the time of Jesus. Jesus corrected that. Right? He went into the temple and turned over tables and drove out money changers. You probably remember that story. Right? He said, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you've turned it into a den of thieves. Like, you all remember that passage, right? Most likely we're familiar with it. But do you realize Jesus was basically quoting the prophet Isaiah? And here's the full context of that quote. Isaiah 56 is verse 3 and 6 through 8. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings, their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. Right? So Jesus says, yes, my house will be a house of prayer. The context, the verse, the he's talking about his house being a house of prayer for all people. For all peoples. That means Jews and Gentiles. All were supposed to be welcomed to come to the Lord and to his temple and to his house. And in the same way, this is what we hope for with those who do not yet know Jesus. So recently, I watched the movie Jesus Revolution. I don't know if any of you have seen it. story of an impact made in the 1970s, church led by Chuck Smith. And I'm just giving you the nutshell version here. The church opened its doors and began reaching out to young people in the hippie movement, right? And saw some pretty amazing things happen. It was quite a movement. Now, there are some unfortunate things too. But I want to play a clip from this movie. A little spoiler alert. It's sort of central, turning point, I guess, in the movie. But it's still worth watching even if you see it. So in this scene, you hear the heart behind this kind of controversial move to reach out to the people who just didn't fit in. All right, we'll go ahead and play that. I'm not trying to make some big proclamation here today about what we're supposed to do or who we're supposed to reach. That's not really the heart behind showing that clip. My heart was just moved by that. That just this idea that we are called to extend the love of Jesus to everyone. Right? We're the ones who have the hope that he's given us. And we're supposed to hold that out to others. And just my hope in showing it was that your heart would be moved by it too. Like, just as we wrap up, just we need to be reaching out to anyone and everyone, those around us who don't yet know the hope of Jesus. Don't keep it to yourself. Right? Don't be like Old Testament Jewish people who thought God was just for them. It's not. And I know we know that. But do we live that? Right? Don't keep it to yourself. The hope of Jesus is for everyone. Sure, it's meant to carry you. Right? The hope of Jesus is meant to carry you through difficult times. It's meant to carry me. And we've got to cling to that, but that's not where it stops. The hope that we are carrying is meant for others as well. Right? Just kind of one last time, that key point. The hope of God carries us, but we carry that hope for the world. We're going to close our time in some more songs of worship. The team can come back up. I'm going to pray for us. And my prayer is really just, I want to pray kind of that prayer that Paul has already written here, Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you and me with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. God, would you fill us with your hope? As Paul prayed as he wrote these words, would you just fill us with a deeper, greater sense of your hope, the hope that you have poured out through your Holy Spirit, because we believe in you. Would you give us the joy that this talks about? Would you give us the peace that this talks about? The joy that comes from knowing we're incredibly loved by you. No matter what circumstances we're facing in this life, and the peace that comes knowing we're right with you, because of what Jesus has done, and the peace, that we can have in every circumstance. Would that hope, joy, and peace come as we believe in you? Would you fill us with that more? Knowing you know what we need, you know what we need, and we want to trust you with that. So fill us up where we're lacking, where we just need more. A greater sense of your hope, your peace, your joy. Do that by the power of your Holy Spirit, who longs to fill us with that hope. And help us to abound in that hope. That it would affect us, our hearts, how we walk through this world, the things that we're facing, the things that we're going through, the things that just weigh heavy on our hearts. But may we abound in a way that shares this hope with everyone around us. That's your longing, that's your heart. So may you, the God of hope, fill us with all joy and peace in believing that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we might abound in hope. This is your word, and we trust that you not only hear that prayer, but you answer that prayer. We thank you for hearing us. We thank you for loving us. In the name of Christ we pray.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.